It'll be about a year later than planned, and the artist might not be able to attend to install her work and meet the international guests. But Samoan Yukikihara will be the first Pacifica artist to represent Aotearoa at the 2022 Venice Biennale. Paradise Camp is the name of her work, with themes including climate change and small island ecologies, queer rights, and giving Fa'afine the attention and respect they have struggled to gain. Yuki has incorporated video filmed in Samoa with a large local cast and crew, as well as photography and archival research, working with curator Natalie King. Paradise Camp has a prized location in Venice at the Arsenale, one of the two main Biennale hubs. The Arts Council of New Zealand supports our Biennale artists financially and logistically, but due to the pandemic, they won't be sending attendants to Venice or a big delegation. Instead, they'll use locally employed people to install the work and to work with visitors on site. Well, Chair of the Arts Council, Karen Rangi, is the Commissioner of New Zealand's presentation at the Biennale. You'll hear from her in a moment. But first, Yuki says she's made the most of the extra time to keep working on Paradise Camp.
So this long wait has been a gift of time that's really allowed me to develop new initiatives for a new global outreach program that I'll be initiating under my Biennale presentation, which will be announced very soon. So keep your ears and eyes locked on this. So that is one of many things that I've been able to achieve during this long duration of waiting, which has been great because I was actually able to produce my work for the Venice Biennale in early 2020, before the global lockdown happened. Which I'm pretty lucky because when I've actually spoke to other artists that are representing their national pavilions, they're being very limited in what they've been able to do because, you know, if they're making a major work and requiring assistance, their assistant also kind of have to adhere to COVID regulations with social distancing and things like that. So, you know, I've managed to do a lot of what I needed. And then some. It's not a big scale show, but it is still ambitious in its scope and scale and layered conceptual thinking. So I would have to say that this is one has been one of the most challenging work to date in my 20 years of practice.
I mean, you are tackling, taking on head on some very big topics in this, aren't you?
It's really looking at the intersectionality between identity politics, climate change, and decolonization, and then how all of these kind of issues, you know, often sort of overlap each other and then impact a certain marginalized community that I belong to, which is the Fa'afine community, that often gets overlooked by the local government, aid policies. And, you know, as a Fa'afine myself who's lived in Samoa over the last 12 years, I kind of feel like when it comes to the topic of climate change and economic development, Fa'afine community is kind of like the last of the list of people that actually benefits from all of these sort of policies that are being implemented with the support of, you know, international foreign aid donors such as Aotearoa New Zealand. And I felt that in order for me to shed light on this often marginalized stories, I felt that, you know, Venice Biennale would be the perfect location or the place for me to shed light on this, you know, and to also use the New Zealand platform to tell a Samoan story, something that I think that hasn't been done before in the history of New Zealand at Venice.
There is so much beauty. I have your two Fa'afine after Goga, the image in front of me from Paradise Camp. You must spend a lot of time getting the image that you want in that one shot.
Paradise Camp has been like 8 years in the making. So that's when like I thought of about Paradise Camp. And then 3 years after that, I began driving around all over Oporu Island in Samoa, trying to, you know, develop the conversation, you know, with the Fa'afine community, with the landowners, with the chiefs of families, to gauge their interests and then to explain them what the project is. And I think that was one of the the key aspect to why I was able to produce what I would say a very ambitious production, because I've already ironed out a lot of the logistics prior to actually submitting my proposal with Natalie King to the Venice Biennale Board at Creative New Zealand. So, you know, by the time, you know, my concept was approved, the money was wired, you know, I was like ready to rock and roll. It was all ready to go. And then, yeah, thankfully, you know, I was able to do all of this before the global lockdown. Yeah, and I have to say that I'm very, very grateful for my team in Samoa, particularly the Samoa Fafine Association, together with, you know, everybody in my crew. So Paradise Camp involved over 80 people in Samoa to make it happen.
Karen, I'd like to bring you in here because this is going to be a very different Biennale to those in the past. Logistically, what has this been like from Creative New Zealand, the Art Council's perspective, trying to get everything ready for Yuki to be able to exhibit this work finally in Venice?
Yeah, finally. It's certainly been a different experience to what I understand past preparation has been, because our focus has been on still wanting to be able to deliver the planned artistic outcomes while taking into account that there's this big, huge health and safety issue happening in the world. And so we didn't want to lose sight of what we're trying to do with Venice while at the same time just being pragmatic about protecting people from a health and safety point of view. Both really important things, but don't necessarily sit alongside each other. So we have made some changes to what we would normally have done, but we were still confident that, you know, Venice is going to be just this fabulous platform for a fabulous set of kaupapa that Yuki is bringing. It has meant a smaller team. It has meant not sending attendants over. It has meant doing a lot of Venice-based work to support the exhibition. But all of this in the context of, you know, we still want to achieve the artistic outcomes that we're all committed to.
Why was it so important to have us there?
It's important because there's nothing else, you know, in our arts and culture sector like the Venice Biennale in terms of being a platform to propel already successful artists out even further into the hemisphere in terms of global reputation. So it is important, and which has made it even harder, right, to still want to be able to deliver a really great experience with the restrictions that we've got. What's even more important, though, in New Zealand, we're well and truly overdue to be having specific Indigenous issues out there on the global stage. And why shouldn't we be doing this? Because after all, we're part of the Pacific. And having a Pacific artist is a real first, is a huge thing for us. So it's still important for us to be there because Venice is still important in the arts world. And arguably, you might say, even more important in this time of uncertainty. And if you think of the things that are happening in the rest of the world, arts and culture becomes even more important.
The site of an installation is really important in Venice, Yuki, and being in the Arsenale, one of the two main centres of art, are you happy with that? Is that where you're happy for this work to be, in the heart of it all?
Yes. So back in, I think, October or November of 2019, Natalie and I were able to fly over to Venice just before it closed to look for a appropriate venue to present Paradise Camp. And then there was this venue at the Arsenale. As soon as I walked in, I knew this was it. And I'm really glad that I'm the second artist after Lisa Rehana to be able to, present, you know, my ambitious project at the Arsenale, right bang in the middle where all the action is happening alongside, you know, other national pavilions. And I believe that that's where Aotearoa New Zealand belongs.
There are lots of hopes and dreams on your shoulders with this work that you are taking to the international stage. I mean, it is about getting conversations going, I think, the Biennale work.
Yes, that's correct. What Paradise Camp does is not only to shed a light on what's happening with a particular community from a one particular place like Samoa, But it also forces the conversation onto Aotearoa New Zealand about how they see themselves and how they see themselves in and amongst the international community. Because what I'm presenting at the Venice Biennale is one aspect of the diverse New Zealand experience.
You'll be hoping Karen and I imagine the same things, and your hopes for Yuki, because this exhibit, you know, this Biennale has opened doors for our artists in the past, flung them wide open often. So the opportunity here for her is huge.
It is huge, and, you know, international exposure for New Zealand art and artists has always been one of the purposes of the Biennale. But, you know, at the same time, it's about the world receiving exposure to these particular important topics through Yuki's eyes, and I think that's just as important. And as I said earlier on, we are well and truly overdue to be having these kind of global discussions with the Pacific views included. So I'm really excited about this. And when Yuki was selected to be New Zealand's representative, it was a huge moment for New Zealand arts and also for global arts going forward. So I'm really excited. And I'm super excited to be involved even just in a small role at this exciting time.
Yuki, very basic question, but you'll be able to travel over there?
Part of the agreement of going ahead with presenting Paradise Camp at next year's Venice Biennale is that I had to agree to Creative New Zealand terms with regards to the possibility of me not being able to attend the media preview if there is like another third or fourth wave of COVID happening in Europe. And if I was able to be there at Venice, then I'm not able to be present to oversee the hanging of my work. So this was like a big blow to me. And, you know, if you tell any artist that, you know, they can't attend their own opening, they let alone oversee the hanging of their own work, I mean, it will crush their soul. And then I did have to go through that. But at the same time, though, you know, I don't want to be going to Europe and come back and, you know, spreading COVID in the Pacific either. So, you know, I have to go through some really tough decision-making with regards to how I am going to move forward with presenting Paradise Camp. Yeah, but I'm really grateful to have a really supportive team around me, you know, with Natalie King as my curator, Ioana Gordon-Smith as the assistant curator, Milford Galleries as a, Venice partner, you know, and having Karen on board and her team. So I feel like I can pull it off. This is the first Venice Biennale in the COVID climate. So this is going to be very significant for the Biennale itself. But the thing is that by what I could judge from looking at the Venice Film Festival, which coincided with the Valentino Fashion Show and the Dolce & Gabbana Fashion Show, I mean, you know, all the key players showed up. You know what I mean? So, you know, everybody went around about their business as if like, you know, nothing was happening. I mean, of course, everybody was wearing masks. So, I'm, you know, pretty confident that, you know, it's going to be successful. But at the same time, you know, the core audience for Paradise Camp is actually the Fa'afafine community in Samoa. So if they feel empowered by what I do, then I feel like, you know, I've done my job as an artist.
Yuki Kihara and Karen Rangi, the 2022 Venice Art Biennale starts on the 23rd of April.